Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
South Chicago! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
It's funny, we're complaining about the Yankees losing 3 of 4. They're 10-6, still in first place in the AL East. You want to really complain? Look at the Mets, down 5-0 in top four again. But anyway, we continue with our Yankee talk. We welcome in Pete Caldera of the Bergen Record and NorthJersey.com. Pete, a pleasure to have you on. It's been a while. Look, first and foremost, my biggest issue is not that they lost 3 of 4 necessarily, but the fact that I kind of felt like Tampa pushed the Yanks around. You know the bad history between these two teams, the trash talk going in, throwing up and in, and the Yankees didn't respond. You think there's anything to that, or am I looking too much into the maybe nuances of this series?
Well, hey, Sal, it's great to be on with you. Thank you for having me. And I heard your impassioned opening, and yeah, you know, I think this has now replaced the Red Sox rivalry, or at least it should anyway, because, you know, these are two pretty good teams who have some aspirations about winning the division. And, to the extent that it was an important series, maybe an establishing series, we got a lot. There was a lot to unpack from that. And, to the extent the Yankees were pushed around, I thought they were a little oversensitive about the Rays pitching inside, because if the script was flipped and the Yankees were pitching inside on the Rays, what would you hear? That's how you have to win games. You have to move guys' feet up the plate, especially if they're hot or they're producing, or this is a team that's been pushing you around. You've got to put something in their minds that without hitting them. That you have to establish that, yeah, you've got to pitch inside. I thought the Yankees kind of used the history of what happened with Kittredge and Romine and Sabathia from a couple of years ago a little too much. But I think the bottom line is that the Yankees didn't perform in the clutch. They didn't hit with runners on base. They didn't take advantage of the Rays' bullpen. You saw what you saw. You're not accustomed to seeing the Yankees blow a 3-0 lead late in the game.
Well, let's start with the offense, because that was the thing that jumped out to me, aside from, like I said, the other nuances, whether the Yankees get pushed around or not. The thing that jumped out to me is a team that's been raking all year long. They faced the Rays, and they basically get shut down. Not basically, they did get shut down on that Friday night. Is it am I looking too much into it, or is it a matter of the same Yankees team where we saw, Pete, in the postseason the last couple of years, they don't score runs? And this is not that this is the postseason, certainly, but against a good Rays team who's going to throw different pitchers at the Yanks throughout the course of a game, probably not going to let the guy face that same lineup two or three times through. You know, is this a case where this Yankee lineup, which is so potent versus most teams, goes quiet versus good pitching again?
Yeah, I think there's a few ways to look at that, Sal. Just take yesterday's game. Yeah, you would anticipate that you get Charlie Morton out of the game in the third inning, that this is a game, not only are you going to win, but you could really dominate, and they didn't. Trevor Richards comes in, pitches a pretty good four innings. I mean, a guy drops a ball on the warning track that he should have caught, so that's 200 runs that come in. You would just anticipate that the Yankees would go in and do what they do against a team's middle relief, and they didn't. And then, you know, you go back and lose a 1-0 game in the first game. They play a doubleheader, they split, and they don't really, you know, the Rays don't have a starter that goes, you know, that goes past the third inning in four games. And yeah, you would anticipate that the Yankees would have had a little better offensive showing. I mean, that said, can you chalk it up to small sample size? Can you chalk it up to the fact that they had a sort of an odd schedule? You played two doubleheaders within 4 days, albeit, you know, 7-inning games. Does all that factor in? I think even more that factors in when you consider what happened yesterday was the fact that I think the Yankees had a compromised bullpen after Paxton and sort of trusted him in a spot where you would normally have him out of the game, and they go on and lose a game that you're accustomed to seeing them shut down. So, you know, do you feel better about the weekend if they hold the lead and they split it rather than losing 3 out of 4? I don't know. I just think it's a little too early to make definitive judgments about the Yankees offense coming off a 4-game series. But yeah, there are select things in there that you can look at, and Gary Sanchez's offense is one of them, and Gleyber Torres seems to be coming out of it a bit, but he has not produced to this far that you can pick out and say, yeah, you have a little bit of concern about that.
We're talking with Pete Caldera, who covers the Yankees for NorthJersey.com and the Bergen Record. Before we get to Torres and Sanchez and more in-depth on that offense, you mentioned Paxton. And I get that if this were the postseason and the Yanks bullpen was, you know, fully healthy here with Chapman being in there, it would have been a different story. But you know what, Pete? It would have been nice to see Paxton battle through there. He gives up the 2-run homer. That happens. Then he gives up the next one to tie the game. That should not happen. So what have you seen in covering James Paxton in his time with the Yankees here? Because I've seen an inconsistent guy from afar. I've seen an inconsistent guy who, to me, looks like he doesn't have either the mental toughness to battle. He's not as good a pitcher to get a big out in a big spot as maybe some other guys with less stuff than he has. He's got all the talent in the world. He hasn't put it together. And I thought even in a good showing yesterday, there were examples of that by not being able to finish off that seventh inning. What is your thoughts on covering James Paxton since he's been a Yankee?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, he pitched a big October game last year that stretched that series, you know, took it back to Houston. So I can't say that James Paxton, you know, is going to wilt in a big spot. But you really haven't seen a whole lot of his body of work as a Yankee. He certainly has the equipment and has shown the performance, you know, that he's capable of being at least a mid-rotation, if not a number two starter on a big league staff. You know, that said, I think, you know, what we might have underplayed is, you know, how he would be impacted by this back surgery that he had in early February and how that would impact his complete game, you know, just coming into this strange season. You know, going back to spring training, the Florida portion of spring training, this is not a pitcher that you would have had in your rotation until, you know, maybe you're about June 1. So was there a period of building back to what he was did he have everything physically in line to be the pitcher he was, you know, coming back from that surgery and not having a spring training, and then in the period where you had the COVID-19 delay of almost 4 months, was he doing enough to build up his arm strength to get him to where he really needed to be to start the season? So I think perhaps all those things are in play. I would dare say though that you had an encouraging sign that things could be going in the right direction. This is a guy who should be sitting at 96, 97 miles an hour with his fastball. You saw him hit 94 yesterday in the fourth inning. I mean, not to throw a parade for that, but that's progress in the right direction. And he was getting swings and misses on his fastball, struck out 11 guys yesterday with the stuff he had. So, I mean, I would just generally chalk that up to an encouraging start, and let's see how it goes forward from here.
Maybe the most damning thing, Pete, is that I wouldn't trust him in the postseason. I mean, regardless of what he does here the rest of the way, and what was he going to have, you know, 10 more starts or 9 more starts or whatever, regardless of what he does, there are things he could do to be encouraging and maybe give you hope, but I still wouldn't trust him in the postseason. I mean, because of the inconsistencies you mentioned last year, sure, game five, he was very good. In game two, he was awful. So that, and that to me is the same thing. You saw it a little bit this year in his first few starts that he can be inconsistent. So I just don't think I would trust him. I would trust, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I would assume it's going to be Gerrit Cole and Tanaka games one and two as it stands right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, if those guys are healthy and it's unquestioned that those are the two guys that you're going to send into a short postseason series and rely on those guys to get you at least six innings, if not seven. And certainly in Cole's case, this is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's capable of having a lights out performance and giving you extreme length. And this is a guy that this is why you're paying him the contract you signed him for, $324 million, to get you performance in those games. And yes, and Tanaka is building back to the pitcher that you can rely upon, I believe. And this is obviously a pitcher who brings his A game into those situations, does not wilt from that. In fact, sort of picks his game up in an October setting, in a big game setting. So yeah, obviously you would rely on Cole and Tanaka 1-2. Then after that, Sal, we're sort of into, this new realm of baseball where, if you think a guy like Loaiza can get you through a lineup, 1-9, and then hand it to somebody else, hand it to a Chad Green, and then sort of bullpen your way through fresh, arms that are throwing 97 to get you through even a playoff game, I think you could possibly see that. I think you could see anything at this point. But yeah, I would dare say, though, that the Yankees would rely more upon what they're getting out of Paxton and hope he's more the player they expect him to be in late September than he is now in early August.
Talking with Pete Caldera, covers the Yankees for NorthJersey.com and the Bergen Record. Before we get to the offense, and there's a lot to get to there, Pete, as you know, the bullpen, I mean, Chapman's going to come back here, I would think, relatively soon. That'll change the look of things. Unfortunately, they lose Canley for the year with Tommy John. I don't love Ottavino, whether it be back looking at last year in the postseason or even this year. To me, he seems untrustworthy in a big spot. I'd be a little nervous with him. You think this would be the one area, if any, Brian Cashman tries to address the best he could, and who knows with this deadline and with the all teams being in here, is that the one area where you think Cashman will try to address and add an arm, or you think they're okay with the depth that they have, even with the injury to Canley?
No, I think you could see them adding an arm. They'll certainly be looking in every direction to improve the roster until that August 31st trade deadline, and I think that pitching, as you mentioned, with Canley down, I mean, this is an arm, a key setup guy that you anticipated was going to be a big part of your staff that's now subtracted from it. And it sort of had you saw the ripple effect here in the Tampa series, where you've got Britton as the closer instead of the primary setup man, and you've got a starter who goes a little too long, and now you've got a situation where, yeah, you're the normal guys that you would stack up to get you, to carry you from a 3-0 lead through the ninth inning, just aren't there. The doubleheader had something to do with that too. But I would think that the Yankees would be looking for an arm. I'm really curious about, in general, how the trade deadline is going to go this year. I mean, our teams, with so many teams eligible to make the playoffs and so many teams in it, not out of it, and so many clubs, in this compromised season that we have, are they really going to be willing to give up, young, inexpensive, potentially, future parts of their club to get them to an October that there's still going to be questions about, even if we make it to August 31st, is there going to be a postseason? Are we going to finish this season? I mean, I think all those questions are still going to be in play. And what is the willingness of clubs to expend themselves of what would be considered trade chips under a normal circumstance if there's some doubts? And, I think we need to see that generally throughout the game, how that's going to work. I mean, I think it's probably different with certain guys who are heading to free agency, but I'm just curious about that whole thing.
Right. That is fascinating. I thought about it from the perspective of, oh, so many teams are going to be still in it. Who's going to be available? But you're right as far as if you're giving up a free agent, first of all, or if you're acquiring a free agent to be, what are you going to have to give up to get him? And then is it worth it? Because you don't even know if the season's going to be completed. And, you know, the other deals would be like, let's say an Edwin Diaz. The Mets will be out of it. Maybe he'll be available. But what are you giving up to get a guy like that, even if he's pitching well, who's under control and young and things like that? It's fascinating to see what type of players, if any, will be available and then what the market will be like for that come August 31st. All right, the offense, Pete. Let's start with Torres because he's a guy who, you know, at times, it seems many times in this young season, has come up in the first inning with chances to open up the game early on and has failed. Now, he gives you what seemed to be better than at-bats than, say, a guy like Gary Sanchez, but Torres is clearly struggling here. I know it's just a matter of time before he gets going. What do you think the issue is, though, so far this year with Gleyber Torres?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that there's a greater book on him now. Than you had in the past, and you've seen, you know, essentially two full years of what this player can do as an impact offensive player. And, you know, certainly the Orioles have seen what he can do. But is it that? Is it the responsibilities of knowing he's the shortstop now, and you know, there's not a Didi Gregorius that's going to come back and mid-year and take that position, that elite position from him and move him back to second base is part of that the reason. I don't think he takes a two. I think he's so confident in his own ability and knowing, and he's so young and he's had so much success already at the big league level at such a young age that I don't think the general things that we think might get into his head actually do get into his head. I would just say at this point that it's still a small sample size. You're expecting more. You should get more out of this player. I think also the responsibility that they had, not only did he, you know, take over for Gregorius full time at shortstop, they batted in the third, at the start of the season. And maybe some of that was possibly thinking that, all right, I got to do a little too much because I'm hitting third on the New York Yankees, or you know the favorites to get to the World Series. Maybe some of that had to do with it. Now he's dropped in the order. Let's see how he does from here. But I would generally bet long term on Gleyber Torres, you know, resorting back to the form that you're used to seeing.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because he continues to come up with runners on and continues to not produce. That would be the frustrating aspect of it. But I think everybody believes it's just a matter of time. We're talking about Pete Caldera, who covers the Yanks for NorthJersey.com and the Bergen Record. A few more, Pete, before we let you go. Gary Sanchez, he's been struggling mightily, dropped down to eighth in the order. Looks like he can't hit right now, flailing at balls that are bouncing in the dirt. I mean, he looks as lost can be. And the reason why I would be concerned is because everybody was talking about it, Pete, coming into this year, whether it be pre-pandemic with spring training or even in summer camp. Oh, Sanchez in the best shape of his life. He's primed to have a big bounce back year. And arguably, he's off to the worst start in his career. Would you be concerned with Sanchez? Are you seeing something that is cause for concern? Or you think it's just a matter of time before he starts hitting some homers again?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go as deep as concern, but I think you naturally have to be a little bit worried about how this season has started for him and what this does to him. From an aspect moving forward, that does this put some doubt into his mind about a lot of things. I think he's been given a lot of, from an instructive standpoint at catcher this spring training, and even going back into the off season. I think there was a lot put on Sanchez's plate to think about and to work about and technique and all that new technique defensively that obviously. This is stuff he has to process, and not only does he have to, do all that and handle a staff of 15 guys or whatever. You've got to be a middle of the order hitter that has that you're accustomed to seeing, produce in a normal season like a 30 some plus homer season. So was that all too much for him, and is that weighing on his offense. I think that's a legitimate argument or concern that he might have. I mean, he may deny that, but does that creep in at some point and affect his offense? Maybe. I think that they have to constantly take this player's temperature and just see where he's at, you know, from a focus standpoint and what he's, and are they giving him, are they force feeding him too much? They have to, you know, draw some of that back and just let him be who he is, because when he is who he is, you know, let's face it, this, you can forgive the defensive shortcomings when he's on an offensive tear, and we've seen him go on offensive tears. He's carried the club for weeks at a time. This, when he's right at the position he's at, this is an elite offensive player. So I think perhaps you got to pull back on the throttle maybe a little bit with him, if that's what it is. And but I think communication with Sanchez is going to be key. You just can't let him say everything's all right. I think you got to do a deeper dive into all the things you put on his plate.
Yankee fans have never missed Austin Romine so badly before. I mean, the calls are clamoring for Romine even more so now. Last one here, Pete, before we let you go, with, you know, Stanton being out now, shocker, he's on the IL. Frazier expected to be called up. I know fans are talking about Gardy too, tired of seeing him as much as they have in the lineup here. He had a great year last year, but it's, you know, it's time for Frazier. What type of run you think we're going to see here? Is Frazier going to be in there in left field? I wouldn't say every day, because nobody's really an everyday player anymore, but what type of playing time, what type of opportunity here do you think we're going to see Clint Frazier get if, in fact, he is called up as expected?
I'll tell you, Sal, I'm really curious about this, because – you know, for you to get what you anticipate out of Clint Frazier, you've got to give him at bats, and you've got to let him go on an extended run. And then you look at the Yankees, even without Stanton, and you do wonder exactly where is Aaron Boone going to get him these at bats. I mean, they've already stated that they want to be creative at the DH spot. I mean, to me, that means, you know, getting Judge the occasional start there, perhaps getting Sanchez the occasional start there, getting Frazier starts there. But then again, Mike Tauchman has shown you that not only would he be an established regular on a lot of clubs, he can hit left-handed pitching, and you don't. This is not a guy that you know, you would substitute or pinch hit for, and he's a plus defender. He's checks a lot of boxes. And, you know, do these at-bats now come at the expense of Brett Gardner? You wonder, even in a lineup that's so right-handed dominant, that you would want an occasional lefty in there. But you wonder about Brett Gardner's playing time going forward with Frazier. But I got to think that if you want to max out what you could get out of Frazier, he's got to get regular at-bats, and that's going to be a big challenge for Aaron Boone.
I'll tell you, I can't wait to see it, Pete. It's going to be one of the more exciting things here in coming days for the Yanks, if in fact it happens, which is expected to be the case once Stanton officially is placed on the IL and call up Clint Frazier. I want to see the kid get an opportunity. He's been through a lot. It'd be nice to see him get a legit run. Pete, we appreciate the time, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes.
My pleasure, Sal. Anytime. Thank you.
Pete Caldera covers the Yanks for the Bergen Record and NorthJersey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.